we had the worst of times. Conversely, looking farther afield, they were some of the best of times as well. I am of the firm belief that in those otherwise turbulent times, social advances and our space program also gave us some of the best of times. But it didn't start out that way. Back in 1957, the Soviet Union had achieved the first giant step in the challenge of spaceflight with the launch of its first Sputnik satellite. The following month, it followed up this feat by sending a dog named Laika into orbit aboard Sputnik 2. Less than 4 years later, as the United States struggled to compete against an ever more sophisticated array of satellites circling our planet, Soviet scientists triumphed yet again, this time by launching cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, the world's first human space traveler, into a single Earth orbit in 1961. It was definitely a time of uncertainty for our nation as we endeavored to play catch-up. Much to our increasing chagrin, the Russians put the first woman into space, followed on the next flight by the first three-man crew, and then on the subsequent Vashkod flight, a human eased out through an inflatable hatch to become the first person to walk in space. A person who later became a very good friend, Alexei Leonov. He may have been the first to walk in space, but it was later revealed that his return to the confines of Vashkod 2 was fraught with extreme danger, and he came perilously close to losing his life. The United States was rapidly closing in, however, and would soon take the lead in the race to the moon, a lead we would not lose. A colleague of mine from those days was quite correct when he said in some interview that we were at war back then. It was called the Cold War, an era when a very definite adversarial relationship existed between the Soviet Union and the United States of America. I had experienced that Cold War from a personal perspective before my participation in the space program. I was a young Navy carrier pilot assigned to the 6th Fleet in the Mediterranean in 1954 and in 1956 on 6-month deployments, and once again with the 7th Fleet in Westpac, Western Pacific, on a 9-month cruise in 1962 through 1963. Politically, economically, socially, it was a war. The Russians were desperately trying to get to the moon ahead of the United States. Through achievement and a good dose of propaganda, they wanted to demonstrate to the world what they had claimed was their superior technology and capabilities. And of course, so did we. Following the successful conclusion of Project Mercury, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, embarked on the Gemini program, which was created for a very specific reason. In October 1963, I became one of 14 new astronauts selected by NASA, and we were immediately dedicated to the success of Gemini. On 25 May 1961, just 20 days after Alan Shepard flew a suborbital flight, and with a total of only 15 minutes of human spaceflight under our collective belts, President Kennedy said we should go to the moon. Just think about that greatest of all mission statements for a moment. How could it possibly be done? We hadn't even sent one of our astronauts into orbit. We still had to learn how to do that. As history shows, the Mercury program proved that people could survive and do useful work in space, while Gemini was created to learn the things we'd need to achieve in order to accomplish an Apollo lunar landing. Planning for the moon then centered on a 10-day mission. 3 days out, 3 days back, and an arbitrary 4 days in near-lunar vicinity. It meant learning how to survive long-duration flights of at least 14 days, how to maneuver our spacecraft, how to rendezvous and dock with another orbiting spacecraft. We had to know how to do those things. It began well enough. Gemini 4, 5, and 7 were long-duration flights, while Gemini 6 and 8 onward were all missions lasting 3 or 4 days that gave us the necessary experience in how to rendezvous, dock, and maneuver our spacecraft. In that very brief period of time, of 10 manned flights in 1965 through 66, we accomplished all of the individual elements that we needed to go to the moon. There were many highlights during the 10 Gemini missions, carried out at an astonishing average of a manned flight every 2 months. Ed White, for example, aboard Gemini 4, conducted